So if I tell this story too often, but Ron, I don't think you've heard this. Some for 10 years in a row, my band played at the New Year's Eve down at the Hyatt, the old Adams Mark. And this was insane. There'd be 3,000 people. And so there was the main room where we played. Then there was like two more rooms. It was insane. 3,000 drunk people. And we would just typically over the 20 years that I had the Dave Glover band, we would close with Helter Skelter. We just played it really well, and I like to scream. And so this one year, we're playing it, and I just, you know, there are people dancing and stuff and just carrying on. Then I realize that there are, and I'm not exaggerating, probably six scrums of people having fist fights.
Oh.
Yeah. It was like soccer hooligans.
It was helter-skelter in there. Was it
moshing or actual fighting?
It started with moshing, and it then turned into haymakers. And so here it is. It's, you know, 1 a.m, and I'm mentally, am I going to spend the night in the hotel room they gave me? Am I going to go back home? Or what if you all that stuff? And all of a sudden, people are just blooding each other.
So,
did you get involved?
No, I stayed on stage. Now, another time, either the year before that or after that, once again during Helter Skelter, people rushed the stage and started taking our equipment.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes. And one of my near and dear guitars, a yellow Tele, just like the one my brother gave me in 1972, and probably worth $5,000, and someone just grabbed it and took off running.
Oh, no.
We got it back.
I was going to say, and?
We got it back.
How long did it take? Were they able to catch him right away?
Someone, like the crowd coalesced.
Yeah.
They saw what was going on.
Oh,
but how about that? Rocking the Hyatt.
You didn't have to pull an old Axl Rose and just jump into the crowd, did you?
Right. That was fun, though. This is very interesting.
What is it about, like, I mean, you could say it's
men
the drinking.
It's the booze.
But like that Woodstock that took place in the 90s or whatever, when everything went insane.
Do you guys watch that documentary?
I did.
The 90s one?
The documentary is crazy. First of all, there were like a million. This is not a joke.
No.
There were hundreds of sexual assaults.
Yeah.
Hundreds of them.
Mm-hmm.
And like Phoebe almost none of them got followed up on.
Phoebe wants to go to Lollapalooza in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I'm just split down the middle because I wanted to do fun things. I wanted to do fun things that I didn't do. And but that worries me.
I would say, okay, that one is very sanitized
now. Especially now.
Yeah, it's not like, it's a
totally,
lot of olds.
Yeah, and it's different than this. I mean, this was, what was it? Was it Limp Bizkit or?
Oh, well, they had one of the songs that people went crazy and rioted and broke stuff.
And did Korn as well?
Korn did too.
There were several, I mean, where it was like massive riots.
The worst thing
like,
is that those sets were amazing. Like the performances were amazing, but Limp Bizkit was actually like cheering on the people trying to tear down the tower
in
the middle, and like that was good.
Festivals, they're just not stupid. Like that anymore. They're all corporate, and they're it's
well, that whole thing was
like
bad
that.
From the word go, because all of the people there were angry because nothing worked. There were no bathrooms, there were no showers, the food was super expensive, there was no access to water,
and it was hot, and you saw
people go Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
Like, in addition to the drugs and alcohol and normal just stupidity.
The sound tower, when they were tearing down the sound tower. Just
they had anger there, too.
Even without riots, that's so not my thing.
No. Well, the festival would be my thing, but the riots, no.
Yeah. Oh, no. If I could, like, be limoed in and out.
Oh.
Yes.
No. I'm all about the living dirty for 3 days.
Oh, no. Not me.
Yeah.
Not me.
Maybe the right bands, though.
I can only do, like, I love music and I love concerts. I can do two bands in a row. So an opener and the headliner, or at a festival, two headliners, and that's it. It's like when you go to, like, if you go to England and you see one castle, you're like, this is amazing, but soon all the castles just look like castles.
I feel you.
You guys ever done, just a day-long one?
I've done a two-day one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I got done. I was like, can I go home?
Yeah.
Wish I'd have gone to Fyre Festival.
I went to that island.
Just for the story.
For the story that you got ripped off?
I've played in more festivals than I've been to.
Okay.
Like, not big ones, obviously. Smaller ones, Song for Soldiers, things like that, where you have, like, Bret Michaels is your big act.
Right.
But those are fun.
Yeah,
I love being backstage.
I've not done the multiple day ones. I've always wanted to do like the 2 or 3 day ones, but I've definitely done the all day, like start at 10 o'clock. I've Ozfest several times where it's like starts at 10 in the morning and goes till midnight.
I'm sure you've seen these things on TikTok where it's like the US Festival from 1983 and every big band in the world was there. Mm-hmm. Like that.
I kind of miss that. Like
Live Aid.
Like
and
Live
stuff
Aid
like that.
And those like, and what was the one? There was another big one like that at the around
Farm
that
Aid?
Same time. Maybe it was Farm Aid in the US. But the shots at Wembley, obviously Queen taking over, like I miss all of that where you had like all of the biggest stars all in one place, like just playing.
Are there biggest stars now?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they just don't all get along.
It seemed, now this is again, maybe just a walk down nostalgia lane, but it seemed like when I was a teenager, early 20s in that era, like the 1983 era, that it was more cohesive. Van Halen could play with Journey, with Sammy Hagar, with the Allman Brothers. Whereas now it feels a little more segmented.
Yes, it does.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah, there's a way more variety. The tree branches have continued to go out.
You know, it's a lot more common now is any person looking up at an artist thinking, who the hell is that?
Right.
Like if you had a music festival, it would be so much easier to not have any idea who this person is or that group or whatever, well, because the audiences are so different.
And it's so there's such an array and of platforms and mediums for you to find people. So, like, I didn't know who Olivia Rodrigo was. Well, because she's not making her way like Queen did.
Yeah, they're not on MTV all the time.
Yeah, and also, a lot of times, like, say, Dua Lipa and Olivia Rodrigo, they're not rock bands. They're not going to go on stage and start riffing. I mean, maybe they can sing together, but that 70s, 80s, when it was so many incredible bands and musicians, that was the era of rock.
And we didn't have that much in our lives.
Yeah.
That, you know, you would listen to Casey and you'd hear the new band, and the new band was Van Halen. And then there would be a festival. Well, it wasn't like you were choosing between a festival or amazing video games or amazing content at home.
Yeah.
Or you were just like, well, I can sit here doing nothing or I can go to this.
This is very similar to that. I'm sure I've made the argument on the show before that it's, I think that being an SNL cast member now, being a writer, is more difficult than ever because you have
no
to try and
experience.
You have to try and pick a topic that everybody knows what you're talking about or at least has heard of it. They have to make fun of things that certain segments of the large segments of the population have no idea what they're talking about.
Which is so difficult, too, because sometimes the genius of a joke is that it's so specific and everybody gets that niche thing. And I guess you could say, how can everybody get it if it's niche? I guess my point is it is zeroing in on the essence of this one random thing. And people go, that's it.
You know, KMOX, legend. In the ratings used to be number one, 6+, meaning 6-year-olds plus forever, for decades. And you think about it, it's because I think not only was it a great station, you had, you know, great personalities, but you had a shared experience. Mm-hmm. 90% of the population were living the same life. You're watching the same things. You're talking about the same things. Think of it's like you took this big, beautiful mirror and dropped it. And now there are 1,000 shards. Now, maybe that's better. Maybe society's better for that. But you're never going to have that again because now you have conservative 97.1 and you have a couple other conservatives and you have hip hop and then you have, you know, R&B and you have this and you have this. You've always had segments in radio, but you had the big, gigantic, overarching KMOX and Stephen DC, who were talking about the things that everyone's talking about. Well, people aren't talking about the same things now.
No, from a TV perspective, the only thing that we have that can compare to the Cosby Show is the Super Bowl. I mean, there's nothing that's getting 38 million viewers weekly.
Nope.
Now, we know there's hundreds of millions or whatever with the Super Bowl, but the Cosby Show would be number two right now, and it wouldn't even be close. I mean, if a show can get 2 million people or 1 million people watching
You're
it,
right.
It's huge.
Yeah.
That's why podcasts, you know, I mean, I get it. And we're starting a new podcast coming up and we podcast our show that's incredibly successful and millions of downloads. But that's what, to me, podcasts are. Someone dropped the mirror and now there's just, how many podcasts are there? I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands, because you can do a podcast about hell, there's probably 500 podcasts about The Sopranos, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think our company has 60,000 podcasts.
Wow.
But it's also
information.
Oh, is that a real number?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were joking.
Right. No, so instead of everybody watching, watching Cosby Show or Cheers or MASH or whatever, you splitting them all up.
Yep.
Divided by 1,000, and that's how many different things people have.
Which is why bringing this full circle, the US Festival will probably never happen again because there is no US.
Yeah.
It was called US for a reason.
Do you guys think that that dynamic that we're talking about is why politics are so important to people?
Could be.
Like, it's the only thing that we have left that is, there's just two.
Just coalesce.
There's just two. Like, there's only two parties. There's only two, you know, ways that you're going to have your voice heard, where literally everything else has thousands of options for ways you could see things, do things, hear things, watch mm-hmm. them, whatever.
Mm-hmm. But also, there are 50,000 different ways to consume it.
Yeah, yeah.
Different platforms, yeah. Different angles.
Yep.
Nobody's on the same page on anything.
And you have subgenres that are huge.
Yeah.
Hip hop is huge. Country is huge because they're identifiable. You someone goes like, are you a country fan? It's a yes or no answer, right? Are you a hip hop fan? It's a yes or no answer. There aren't that many of those. I don't think rock's like that anymore. I think if you say rock, mm-hmm. you're probably talking about classic rock. I know that there's new rock, but
there's just a million
like
versions
us aren't
of it.
Finding it.
Right. I mean, you have those indie rock, then you've got prog rock, which is obviously still like that existed back in the day, but it's more thing metalcore, speed, death metal. Like there's a million different versions of just that one thing. Mm. Where if you go back to the 70s and 80s, rock was what you heard on the radio.
Yeah.
Right? It was Rolling Stones. It was eventually Van Halen and all those things. But now you could say rock and it literally could mean anything from what?
Well, when you say it, all Amy thinks is death metal.
Yeah, I know.
That's her favorite.
Like, is it called industrial? Is that what Tool?
Industrial is another
Tool,
kind.
Like Tool, like Nine Inch Nails.
Nine Inch Nails. Tools.
One of my friends is like industrial rock, and Ministry. I don't like that at all.
Andrew and Rachel are very quiet during this segment. What's going on?
I'm just...
And you're like, these guys are just a million years old.
No.
I can't handle the slander of industrial rock that Amy's about to do. I didn't feel like I had much to add because I mostly agree with it. I think that we are definitely more splintered because we just have more options. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's been, we found a genre for every possible taste that you could have and a niche for every possible taste. And part of that is, I think, the internet connecting everybody and people finding, you know, forums and whatever
it's
interest.
It's almost like a big giant smorgasbord restaurant and we all go there, but I'm like, oh, have you been to the steak restaurant? You're like, no, but I've been to the seafood restaurant.
Yeah, you're like, I can't take any steak because I got so full eating all the seafood over here. Yeah, it's very similar to that. It's,
but we all got to eat the pudding. You can't go to Heritage House without eating the pudding.
I haven't had pudding in a long time.
So what's the, it's so interesting because I agree with you.
I'm laughing because I'm the only one that saw her face.
Yeah.
It was real.
It was pain.
That was a genuine statement.
It was like a realization.
It really was.
I haven't had pudding in a long time.
By the way, congratulations to Amy winning another race.
Oh, thank
Good
you.
For
Congrats,
you.
Amy.
Which
thank
win?
You. The Hospital Hill Half Marathon in Kansas City.
Nice.
Which she was worried about, which is all the more reason to celebrate.
Well, thank you. And I really was almost not tough enough. It was really hilly, and my goal was to glom on to like a group of guys running or whatever. And so I had a pack of like four guys I was running with, but two of them were doing the 10K, so they broke off. So then with two more guys, then we start to spread out. We get to mile 10, and the hills are just brutal, unlike anything else I've ever run. And I'm starting to break. And you know how you kind of you just follow the pack. So there's one guy that I'm running with, and I'm just like trying not to think. At mile 10, we get to the bottom of this hill. We're about to go up another hill, and he just starts walking. He stopped. And without thinking, I stopped and started walking.
No.
And I was in the lead, and he, I could tell that he knew what happened.
Yeah.
And because I just started walking, and then he goes, come on, ma'am, you can do it.
Ma'am! You got ma'am'd in the middle of a race?
I got ma'am'd. So he started running again, and I started running. And once I started running, then he dropped off. He walked off the course, and then I just kept going. But, I mean, it was that close. It was that close where I literally broke. I started
walking. You caught the rabbit.
And then I started running again.
Good for you.
Thank you. Congratulate me because we got through our entire show without bringing it up.
Yeah, that's his goal.
It's all 3 hours. If we can get through this whole 3 hours without mentioning a marathon, this is going to be a great day.
I recognize your achievement, Amy.
I know. This guy. That's his goal.
Can we do this in another one? Is that okay?
Okay.
So, lest you think that this Amy Chris thing is a put on for the air. I was going out to get some more ice for my iced tea, and they're in the kitchen, and they're having a conversation with Megan Lynch, and it's whether Ranji is truly charming or if he's just exploitive of people.
Damn.
And it was just, I felt like I was on the show.
It was a cliffhanger,
wasn't
it?
I'm just in there getting ice, and Amy, it's like the Lincoln-Douglas debate's going on. What's when you buy DGS? When we come back, bottom of the hour, we'll talk some sports. Obviously, Cardinals, some Caitlin Clark. That thing shows no signs of going away, especially given the Pat McAfee thing. Here's a weird story for you. Do you see the thing about the funeral director that tried to steal the guy's sex doll?
Wait, what?
No. What's going on?
That sounds like the setup of a joke.
This is how I make my living. This is how I pay for KU. So a couple guys, funeral directors, they show up at a dead guy's house to collect the body, right? And this guy has an amazing sex doll. One of these $10,000 Japanese sex dolls. The sex doll's grieving. This is how fancy the sex doll is. And so he takes a shine to it, right? And he says, what's going to happen with the sex doll? And whoever's there guarding the body's like, I don't know. Clem's dead. So the guy can't get it out of his mind. And he goes back and he knocks on the door and he says, look, I don't want to be here anymore than you want me here. But I'm here at the direction of the police and they're going to need that their sex doll for evidence. And so he brings a body bag and whoever is tending the house is like, yeah, I'll be right back. And they go and they call the cops and the cops are like, yeah, we don't need the sex doll for evidence. And now he's in some trouble.
Why would you? Maybe he had a deal with the dead guy and the dead guy said, you can have this sex doll over my dead body. And then he came back to collect, but he didn't tell anybody else about the agreement.
I don't like this thought that popped into my head, but that's extra creepy because that's a person that's usually around inanimate.
Oh, Kevin.
I mean, that's terrible.
Ew. Ew.
135 DGS on KMOX. If you're listening to 1120 AM, check out 98.7 FM. If that's not good enough for you, then just download the Odyssey app and listen in perfect, pristine sound, whether it's in your car or at home. So we're going to talk about sports as advertised, and this is kind of like sports. I understand that the cicadas fought back with you a little bit the other day.
Oh, yeah, the next day. I got what you call the scoots.
Yeah.
So it was fine. It was only in the morning, but it was different than normal.
It was only in the morning.
And I thought, okay, it's the cicadas.
Revenge.
That's what it was. Yeah, they got me, man.
Nice.
But it wasn't that bad.
But still. Equivalent. You had four cicadas, which was the equivalent of one big bite of like steak. So doesn't that make you think, how could one bite of cicadas make you have the scoots?
No, because they're bugs.
They're bugs.
So did you were eating the shell and all, right?
Well, did it look like it had the shell? So they're really little.
Yeah.
And I think he said they harvest them right when they come out of the ground before they get big.
Or is it before
they come out of the ground?
It's right after they come out of the ground.
After 13 years, 13 years of sucking on the tree root, and they pop out, someone grabs them and feeds them to Ranji.
Yeah. And nobody else wanted one. So they put them in a freezer.
Yeah, shocking.
To kill them.
Yeah.
And then they boil them, and then they prepare them however they want. Also, I had dried crickets. And those were disgusting.
Yeah.
He said they tasted like manure.
They tasted like manure smells.
Yeah. George Mahe brought those in one time.
Ranji's like, I've never tasted manure, really.
I've never tasted
manure. Mahe has a weird sense of humor. He brought in cricket tacos. Okay, fair enough. I get it. I'm down for the joke. Then one time he brought in three different kinds of water. And two of them were awful. And one was out of his bird bath. And I'm like, yeah.
What?
That's
why
it
tastes
terrible.
That can't
be safe. No,
that's not safe. It was bottled water, tap water, and then rainwater from his bird bath.
Yeah.
And he was like, you won't even be able to tell the difference. And
what?
You took a drink of one of them, and you were like, well, I'm going to throw up.
Wait, but that's actually
isn't that bad for you?
That show House, like 90% of the diseases were from birds.
Oh, that was going to be bird bath.
Yeah.
Like bird bath related.
Is that where bird flu comes from?
A lot of bird bath related problems on House MD.
But bird.
I bought a bird bath just this summer, and it's this beautiful porcelain, multicolored, looked great at Menards, and it looked great when I filled it up the first time, and then I'm like, oh, things just poop in there.
Yeah.
And then after that, every day is just some level of disgust.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to, like, power wash the bird bath every couple of days.
Yeah, I'm doing that. I'm known for my power washing.
He's like, I'm all over that.
Why don't you take a rake to the
cleaning cleaner to here?
I'm known for keeping up with stuff.
My favorite thing is yard work.
Oh boy, it's power washing day.
Too bad you didn't have a rake to do it.
Okay, so Cardinals take one from the Phillies and drop the first one to the Astros. Wheels, why don't you kind of do the X's and O's in the game last night?
Yeah, I mean, it was great until JoJo Romero just kind of fell apart. And you know, most of you had three home runs against Justin Verlander. Gorman hit two of them. I tweeted this earlier. He's basically been the second best hitter in baseball since the beginning of May. Aaron Judge is the only one that's had better, like, you know, total numbers.
Did you feel like Ollie left Gibson in a little too long?
No, I don't, because I think that they're already at a spot where they're pushing their top guys too much. You know, I mean, like the guys they pitch with a lead, they're already pushing JoJo and Helsley and Kittredge. Like those guys are working a ton. Like they're all on pace. Well, less Helsley, but JoJo and Kittredge are on pace for like 80 plus 85 games, which is a lot. So you can't. And part of and look, it's understandable because you're playing close games and you were behind. You don't have the freedom to play around and not do it. You're trying to gain back ground that you lost. So it's not a criticism to say that. They've just been ridden really heavy, and Gibson was going good. He still only ended up throwing 91 pitches. It's not like he was on fumes. So, no, I didn't have a problem with that. I think, you know, you could make the argument that maybe you get Romero out one batter sooner than you did. But, he was there to face left-handed guys, and a couple of those guys got him. And, you know, he's been super reliable. It's kind of hard to question when a guy had a 180-something ERA coming into the game.
Yeah, fair enough.
It just, he had a bad day, and that's why they end up losing the game.
Stinks, too, because the bullpen's been the one thing that's, that's the one thing that's been getting them through all year, consistently.
Yeah, and
that happens.
You know, I will say one thing that is, and we can bring it up with Ricky later on, but I think one thing that's interesting is the defense hasn't been good lately. Like, they made three errors in the finale against Philly. They made two more last night, and they mattered.
I think
the errors mattered yesterday.
I think Mason Wynn's hurt.
Oh, he's definitely not feeling it. Last night they almost took him out of the game on a check swing, it sounded like. And, you know, this is the funny thing. I was texting with all the sports guys, and it was like,
it's weird. I wasn't on that text.
You don't want to be. I asked you if you wanted to be on there, and you're like, do you want to get 20 texts during a Cardinals game? And you're like,
who's
no.
Who's on it?
Steve and Paulie and Ackerman and me.
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Oh, I'd be on that.
Yeah, well, then, good.
All right, I'll
How
add
come you.
You
weren't invited.
I'll add you. Just don't get mad when there's like 25 texts during a game.
I'm all set.
Yeah,
do you want to be a
Dave
part of that?
Invited. You didn't even get invited,
yeah,
Chris.
No, that's right. Yeah.
They didn't even ask you.
He's the green bubble.
Oh,
nobody wants
God.
The green bubble
yeah,
at the party.
Throw everything off. You can't invite him. That's the worst.
Is that then a part of your life, getting complaints about that?
Yeah, and guess what? Great, because I don't want to be in your stupid text thread. I
didn't want to go to the birthday party
no.
anyway.
I didn't want to. Birthdays
are
stupid.
Good
birthdays
about
are stupid.
There's nothing good about a text thread.
I get what you're coming
I hate
from.
Text thread.
I have a few of them that are, one of them I'll wake up in the morning. I mean, I'll wake up to 100 texts.
I hate it.
If it were like just during the games, right on.
It is mostly.
Yeah.
I mean, like 90% of it. 90% of it's during
Except
games.
Except you sending wolf memes and things like that.
Yeah. No, I don't send any of that to those guys. That's for different. That's a different thread.
who's the most prolific on that thread?
Kevin.
I don't know that there is
it's
one.
Kevin.
It might be Steve.
It's Kevin.
Yeah,
it might be the boss.
That.
He starts a lot of them. But it's probably between.
Kevin's
there's three of us.
The
me.
Thread. Guys, I'm going to be late. I'm getting my hair.
I'll
cut
say that. I'll say that. Aki is probably the least because you know we're usually late at night and he's probably asleep.
Yeah.
So we're probably waking him up with all of our texts.
Oh, he's muted you.
Yeah, he probably. I don't have that one muted, but I have a lot of the other ones muted.
Yeah.
So I don't get alerts when they threads go crazy.
Do you ever text, or not Chris, but the iPhone users, do you ever like send an iMessage and then they text you back, you text back, and then it's like, oh, their notifications have been silenced, like mid-conversation.
Oh, wow.
Mid-conversation?
It's quite humbling.
Oh.
It's quite humbling.
Oh, you get that notification?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. That almost makes me want to get an iPhone just to do that.
I've never really known exactly what that meant.
It mostly means like they're not going to see that you texted them because they've put it on Do Not Disturb.
Right, right.
But my
in the middle of you conversing
yes,
with them.
I've never had that. That's
I'm
crazy.
Sure it's happened
pretty
to
awesome.
Me. I just haven't noticed.
it's a humbling experience.
I've had it happen where it's like so-and-so is not accepting these, but and then it will say...
Do you want to notify them anyway?
You want to notify them anyway. I'm like, what sort of psycho does that?
I don't know, but I want to now. Now that I know that's a thing.
Think about that. Send a text to somebody, and what you see back is not a response, but this person is not receiving text anymore. It's like they looked at your message and went, no.
Yeah, like, I'm done for
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
So who goes tonight?
Tonight is Andre Pallante coming off of that really good outing the other day, and he's going up against Spencer Arrighetti, the rookie pitcher for the Astros. He's been okay lately, but was terrible there for a while.
Well, I've never seen a turnaround quite as quick as, I mean, it's only one game, but I mean, Pallante kind of stunk, and then he was a world beater.
He's an interesting guy because his whole experience in the major league level has kind of been that. He's either awesome or terrible. There's been very little middle ground. Like, when he's going good, you're like, man, this guy's really good. He's throwing 95. And then you're like, why can't he get anybody out anymore? He just kind of has ridden that wave. So, you know, his first major league start, he threw like 7 shutout innings and had a no-hitter for 6 innings
so
or something like
talk
that.
Talk to me about, one thing I don't understand is I don't understand when all the trade stuff comes down. Like, when do we start making the decision if we're buyers or sellers?
July, typically. I mean, like, you might know now that you're not selling or that you're not planning on selling, but nobody really makes the full determination until late July. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, we're in or okay, we're out. And it's even less so now because with the extra spots in the wild card, more teams just hang in there.
Yeah. And in our division especially, it still is kind of anyone's. Yeah.
I mean, going into yesterday, the Cardinals were a game under 500 and had a wild card spot.
Yeah.
So as long as you're right there for a wild card spot, you're not a seller. In most cases.
So Astros are beatable, especially tonight with a rookie going.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this
Colorado's
is the one.
Beatable.
Colorado is bad, and historically, they're horrific away from their home field because of the. I mean, I won't get too boring on the details, but in the light air, pitches don't move the same way they move in regular air. So, like, sliders slide less, curveballs curve less, everything is straighter in the altitude.
So it really is a hitter's park.
So that, for a lot of reasons, yes. And then when they get on the road, well, then everything moves more than they're used to. So that messes with your, with your, you know.
And we'll have Sonny Gray going against them.
And you'll have Sonny Gray going. And God, that's a 4-game series, too. So that's one where.
Could get well.
You really want to win at least 3 of those against a bad team
on
the road.
Do you know who's after
that? I don't remember. They might actually. I think it might be Philly again. I think it might be Philly on the other side of it, coming back on the homestand for them. So it's Houston, Colorado. No, though it's Pittsburgh is after that. Wrong Pennsylvania team, and then it's back on the road for the Cubs and the Marlins.
Wonder if we get to see Skeens.
So Colorado and Pittsburgh is a 7-game homestand. It looks like the as the schedule says right now, he is set to face the Cardinals on June 11th.
We should probably go.
Tuesday, June 11th, Skeens and Michaelis is this current schedule. It could change, so keep an eye on it.
Let's go.
Yeah.
151 DGS on KMOX. Went to visit my mom last night. Everyone from the family went, and we went to Chili's on Lindbergh.
Mm-hmm.
I forget how great Chili's is.
It's good.
They give you so much food. It's mm-hmm. really good. They're not giving it away, but it's also not like, you know, you're not offended by the prices.
I love Chili's.
Yeah. It's a good time.
Marketing chicken.
What'd you get?
You know me. Got a bowl of soup.
A bowl of soup?
That is such a bummer.
Did you get the enchilada soup?
I did.
That's
that's good.
It's good. Like, I know which soup.
No, because of the reflux. I can't friggin' eat after like 6 p.m. or I don't sleep all night, so. Yeah. And I just had a bowl of soup, didn't get the reflux, slept all night, feel much better. So
boom.
There you go.
Well, that's good.
Also, thank you to Aubrey. Aubrey sent me an article because I have reflux. He has reflux. He has reflux. And we all, I take Pepcid. He takes Pepcid. He's got something fancy. But there's a link between Pepcid and dementia. And I don't want that. It's all over my family. And I mentioned it on the show yesterday, and Aubrey sent me an article that kind of was calling BS on it.
Oh, okay.
So that was nice.
Good. Good to know.
So my pockets are full of Pepsi.
Yeah. So it's just like every other thing, right? It's bad until it's good, and then it's good until it's
bad. Yeah, for sure.
Is Pepsi different than, what's the other one?
That's Zantac. That's the one that's got the lawsuit for being, for causing cancer.
No, it's Prilosec. Prilosec?
Prilosec.
Prilosec.
Prilosec?
What about Prilosec? I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, those are the brand names.
Are they all the same drug, though?
Some of them are. Some of them are different. You got to look underneath the title.
All right. Just take the Pepto. That'll be good for you.
Yeah. The pink drink.
The pink one.
I can't take Pepto, and I can't drink 7-Up, because both of those things are what my mom and dad would feed me when I was throwing up.
Oh, wow.
And when Maureen and I were first together, first living together, and I was really sick, and no one fights throwing up like me. You would think it's a wounded zebra. I just lay in the floor and moan and scream and just try everything I can to not throw up. But I told her, I'm like, will you please bring me some Pepto-Bismol? I have a version to it, but I think I need it. And she comes in, and she had an off-brand called Pink Bismuth. And
I know Bismuth.
And I immediately threw up. I was like, well, thanks for that, because I
took care of business.
Took care of business.
You ever do the chewables?
No, I haven't.
They're not that bad.
Bismuth is like if I recall correctly, it's like a chalky slime.
It's what Pepto-Bismol is.
That's what it is, yes.
Yeah.
That's the biz.
Like, I feel like it's worse. I feel like it's like... Sludgy.
And another
sludgy.
Weird, bad decision I made in childhood. These guys know this. The same way that I begged my mom to buy me a Nat King Cole album, and they made me listen to it because I was mistaken for who it was. And so I'm like, Ramblin' Rose. I wanted Milk of Magnesia. There was something about the marketing that really appealed to me. And they're like, do you know what it is? I'm like, of course I know what it is. Just get me a bottle. And they did. And it was like drinking chalk.
Do you think they were like, this will be funny?
Yeah. In hindsight, like, well, I guess we got to keep him. We might as well have some fun with him.
You better finish it.
My dad was definitely big on the let him learn for himself.
Yeah, he'll figure it out.
They won't hurt him.
You know, there are starving kids around the world.
You better
don't
finish
get
that
milk of magnesia. So you
guys
better
cut or scratch yourself. Was it Bactine? Was it iodine? Was it Mercuricome? What did you get put on a cut when you were a kid?
I was Band-Aid. Peroxide.
Yeah, peroxide.
Peroxide and Neosporin.
Peroxide was only if it was a
you must
bad
rich.
Cut.
I was peroxide and Neosporin.
Neosporin, but this Neosporin that because we had moved into my grandmother's house by the point that I'm remembering, and it was her Neosporin that had expired in like 1981.
Yeah, it never goes bad.
It's fine.
And that's what I was told. It's fine. Shut up. It's fine.
Yeah, it was definitely the peroxide for the bad cuts.
I had Bactine, which meant I was middle class, and my friend Stacy had iodine in the brown bottle with the swab.
Yeah.
And they'd just have to chase her. I mean,
is it stingy?
That's orange.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I remember having
it. The liquid is
orange,
brown.
Yeah. Bactine was always the easy one, right? That's the one that doesn't sting.
It stung, but it was reasonable.
The peroxide, I remember stinging like a stinger, and then then the white stuff would come up.
Stinging like a dang stinger.
This thing stings like a dang stinger.
What is this, some kind of stinging device?
It burns like a burner.
What kind of stingy thing stings is this? Quit stinging me, stinger. Damn that sting.
Woo! They can't
I love when Wheeler says something dumb.
They can't all be gems,
and he
man.
Knows it's dumb. And he thinks about trying to fight back, like, well, they're cold. And then he's
no. There's no fighting that.